Welcome back, everybody, to our finale in the DC graveyard.
Oh boy.
Is it good to finally put this to rest, as it were, Mason? Have you left a like, though?
I mean, I could.
But have you?
Oh, and I will.
Okay, good.
Terrific.
As everyone else?
Oh, good question, because we won't start until everybody gives us a like.
That's right.
We can't possibly know that.
No, we don't know.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, is it good to put it to rest, etc.?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. This one's unique, though, from the other four that we've looked at, because this one isn't so much about a person being dead either metaphorically or literally and then coming back to life, unless you count somebody killing their fear to overcome, et cetera, and so forth.
But that's not an expression.
No, so I guess it's
probably
not.
Probably not, no.
No, hit your fear with a shovel and bury it. Did your dad not say that to you?
Hit your fear in a car park with a big green fist and then they go flying through a half-built brick wall.
He killed those men.
He killed three men. This movie is fascinating because it feels to me, and again, I'd not seen this.
Really?
I don't think so. I've seen snippets of it. I must have, but I don't think I'd seen it all the way through. Mm. But this was just DC going, we need an Iron Man. We need a lovable rogue who's kind of
bit of a bad boy,
and he's, you know, he can fly about and do quips and shoot lasers and what have you. And people didn't like it.
No.
And there's a lot of reasons. Like I know that I skimmed some reviews and was like, okay, well, you know, it is too quippy and the plot is bad and the CGI is pretty bad and et cetera. But it's just occurred to me coming in here, is it partly because ultimately this is kind of like a jocks versus nerds movie?
Okay.
And we're supposed to be rooting for the jock
in this instance? Okay,
It's the beautiful, you know, ripped Hal Jordan versus that little nerdy mulleted Hector Hammond, you know?
Yeah, well, that might be it because, I don't know, look, I like Ryan Reynolds, but I don't think he's wrong for Hal Jordan, but whatever they're doing here is not working.
Mm.
You know, I feel like a version of him that we saw recently in, like, the Adam Project would have been a better version of Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, take it down a notch from Deadpool and you've probably hit it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or maybe it's a movie where, like, I imagine a lot of times, you know, the first 5 minutes of a movie sort of, you know, makes you decide whether you love it or hate it or have you. And this is a movie, it's allegedly about a man who has no fear.
Yeah.
But right at the start of the movie, he's afraid of running late. I wouldn't be.
No.
If I were that guy, I'd be like, whatever, I don't.
You'd be a day late.
Yeah, I'll be a day late. Oh, I missed the fighter jet test, did I?
Yeah.
I don't even care.
Yeah.
I was too busy sleeping with this woman who looks a little bit like Blake Lively. And I'm like, is that Blake Lively at the start? But it's different. It's a different woman to Blake Lively.
That's right. But
is this where they met?
That's how they met.
Oh,
exactly.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, Ryan Reynolds and that woman who looks like Blake Lively.
They probably met on the set.
Yeah,
that,
but
yeah.
Also Blake Lively.
And that woman on set? Do you think they met?
Yeah, they all met.
Oh, wow.
They all met, but they haven't all dated.
Okay,
as far to my knowledge.
Terrific.
Anyways, what kind of threw me off and always struck me as odd at the start of a movie, and it's generally never a good sign. There's probably a few examples where it's a narrator going, millions of years ago, something in the blah, blah quadrant, and everybody, there's an intergalactic and the boogly boo escaped and he went after the blibbity blab. There's a Michael Cusack video, he did Smiling Friends recently, that did like this exact thing, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, this is too vague and too much. And you've clearly put it in post because you don't think people are going to understand this movie, but also the movie explains all of this within the movie.
It's not complicated. I always wonder about these opening crawls to movies.
Just say they're cops. Just be like, there's a bunch of
space
fucking cops
are in space. But it feels to me like, are these for people who are planning on, they're just on the cusp of leaving the theater at all times?
Yeah, maybe.
You're like, I've got to reassure these people that this isn't going to frighten them or surprise them in any way.
Yeah, well, you know what? The production of this, it's a big mess. But how about I give you some history as to how we got to Green Lantern 2011? So in 1997, Warner Brothers actually approached Kevin Smith to script the film. He'd obviously recently done Superman Lives, which all got thrown in the bin. And then because it went to Tim Burton, but then that all got thrown in the bin. It's a whole other DC graveyard.
So this is a lot of stuff being ultimately pulled out of the bin, I guess.
Exactly. He thought, though, that there were other people more suitable to make a Green Lantern movie. Geoff Johns tried to get the film into the production in the early 2000s, but apparently the first question he was asked was whether the film could be made without the ring.
Terrific.
There are versions of Green Lantern without a ring, though, right? I mean, I know there are, like, in the universe, in various sectors.
Oh, yeah, sure. But like, sometimes they have a bloody a staff with a gong on it. Or
a belt or
Alan
band.
Scott, yeah. the original Green Lantern, eventually his power.
He had a rock. He just ran around with a rock.
Hitting people with a...
It wasn't a magic green rock.
That's right. He'd hit somebody over there with a regular rock and be like, check out my green rock. And people were like, that rock ain't green, but I am not arguing with this guy. he eventually internalized the power of the Green Lantern ring and became Sentinel. But then actually Geoff Johns got a hold of the character in Justice Society and went, I'll just make him Green Lantern again.
There's
actually a panel, like I think it's a big splash panel where he just goes, I'm Green Lantern again.
Wonderful.
We'll track that down.
Please do, because Ben and Lawrence are going to have to put that in the edit.
Or invent it if, in fact, I've made it up.
Sure. Act it out.
Yes.
Yeah. So David S. Goyer was offered the chance to write and direct either Green Lantern or Flash.
Okay.
After Warner Brothers was impressed with his screenplay for Batman Begins.
And he was like, you know what? I'm going to pass on the Flash because somebody will jump on that and it'll be out any day now.
That's right. Around 2006, Robert Smigel had completed a script of the film, which was a comedy adventure. You probably remember this. It was to star Jack Black as Judd Plato.
Terrific.
An original Green Lantern whose bravery was defined by eating brains on a TV show, presumably hosted by Joe Rogan.
Okay.
However, the studio dropped the script idea due to very negative feedback from fans. Apparently, there's some stuff in it like he makes a construct of Britney Spears to have sex with, and he makes his genitals bigger. So, you know, I mean, that's comedy. And I love comedy.
Oh, same.
And I will never apologize for my jokes, Mason. Are you the joke police, Mason?
Yes, I am.
Oh.
I've got a big ring with jokes on it. Wait, no, it's jokes, and then it's got like that red circle with a line through it.
And it's backwards, so you hit me with it.
Yeah. Cancelled.
Cancelled, that's right. Yeah, that doesn't... I mean, I don't hate the idea of a comedic Jack Black Green Lantern. Mm. Imagine the wacky guitars he would make.
And it's Robert Smigel, so you'd probably get a cameo appearance from Triumph, the insult comic dog.
Exactly.
Is that him? That's Robert Smigel.
Sure. Greg Berlanti actually signed on to co-write and direct the film in 2007. That fell apart. Anyways, et cetera and so forth. It eventually went to Martin Campbell, who's directed, of course, GoldenEye. Mm-hmm. And
Casino Royale, yeah.
All of which we have looked at.
Do you think you would have had a more positive reaction to this movie?
No.
If you'd known that Martin Campbell directed it first? Because I didn't, and then I got to the end of this and I went, huh.
Yeah, well, he didn't...
Drop the ball on this one, didn't he?
Well, I don't think he did, and we'll talk about happened. But let's talk about how he gets the ring at first. Okay, so...
Well, no, first, James. First of all, he's an irrepressible, charming bad boy.
Yep.
He's the perfect guy to be part of this experimental, you know, fighter jet program, except for the fact that he doesn't play by the rules, and he often has, like, really vivid, traumatic hallucinations about the death of his father that caused him to crash.
How'd you get that far?
Don't know.
How many planes has he wrecked?
Good question.
He also has a nephew that he doesn't visit again.
Mm-hmm, sure, you know.
And that's interesting, I guess.
I think so too.
Yeah, it's got a little Hot Wheels track. That's a little Easter egg for something that's going to happen later. Is that what an Easter egg is, Mason?
I think that's not an Easter egg.
Don't cancel me, Mason. All my jokes.
You watch out. I've got a big ring that says Easter eggs on it, a little circle with a line through it. So,
anyway, he runs into Temuera Morrison, mm-hmm. who's the other Green Lantern or whatever.
Aben Sir.
Thank you. Good makeup on that dude, by the way.
Right.
Looking really good. And he's like, I'm going to bury this guy properly, just under some rocks, I guess.
What? Did you panic? Because it would have taken a long time to... He buries him... Aben Sir has been grievously wounded by Parallax, who's a big... dirty cloud of piss from space.
Yes, yes.
Who's going to destroy Earth and then the planet Oa and then the universe, presumably.
Yep.
So Aben Sir crashes to Earth and his ring has to find someone on Earth who's worthy of wielding the Green Lantern ring next. And so Hal Jordan finds him and he's like, well, better give him an above-ground burial.
Strange.
Under some rocks. That'll take 20 to 30 minutes.
Rocks in his pockets and
put him in the water. Exactly. Yeah. Right? It's right near the ocean.
I mean,
or whatever.
They find him, don't they?
They sure do.
They find him immediately.
They being Amanda Waller.
That's right.
In this case, Angela Bassett.
I want to talk about that because I think this is supposed to be like a bigger universe thing.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because he's like, I buried him because I think he was a pilot. He was wearing a uniform. He could have been a Nazi. The Nazis wore uniforms.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Or a chef.
Or a chef.
And he'd worked a double shift and he'd had a couple of drinks on the way, you know, out of the space diner and he, you know, crashed.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And anyway, he's mates with Taika Waititi, who's absolutely wasted in this movie. I don't mean like he's drunk.
Mm.
I mean, maybe
not like
he was.
Not like a chef after a double shift.
No. Yeah. But I mean, just like...
Taika Waititi has a line in this movie where he's like, when it's revealed that Hal Jordan is Green Lantern, now he goes, "You're a superhero. What universe is this?
Exactly.
How do you know what a superhero is? Yeah. Are they flying around all the time? And if so, where were they? Where was anybody in this? We'll get to it at the end, but
great question.
Where were they except for there's a moment where all 3,600 Green Lanterns are drawn back to the planet Oa for a big meeting, and I'm like, nothing else going on? Are you guys having a smoke break altogether? You guys on Smoko right now? Sorry, I can't save your planet because I got
to... You have holograms. We've seen them. You don't need a big meeting.
That's right.
You don't need a big meeting.
You don't need a spaceship, ultimately.
Yeah.
What's happened, sir, doing with a spaceship?
Dunno.
Mm.
So much of this, though, special effects-wise, and it's not all terrible, but it looks like a video game cutscene. And it's just, it's that, and there's a lot of big heads in this. Everybody's got a big, big fucking melon on them, you know what I mean?
I sure do.
Like a bunch of Green Lanterns, and the villain, and the other villain that's a cloud.
Yeah.
One guy's head, like, gets bigger, like it inflates at one point.
Yeah.
I'm just not loving that aesthetic. Maybe it's just because I'm seeing myself in it, you know what I mean? I got a big old melon. But,
and you're saying, why not me?
Exactly. Where was I? I was around.
I got the biggest head on this planet. Give the ring to me.
But I think, you know, I like the idea of his costume being an energy construct. They very quickly in early development went away from like a physical, you know, like a spandex leather, whatever you want to do costume.
Probably should have gone with a spandex leather, whatever costume,
if
you ask me.
Or like a combination because, you know, often in the comics or pretty much always now, the costume is a construct also.
Mm.
You know, but I feel like... often, he just looks like he's... it's a cartoon world, and then Ryan Reynolds' head is just floating around in it. You know what I mean?
How did they... Was it that classic kind of, you know, that...
The mocap suits.
The weird mocap suits with the weird lines and dots and stuff on it. Okay, right.
Because there's some good practical stuff, because the redhead big-headed dude, who gets a wonderful post-credit scene...
Who are we talking about?
The red-faced dude.
Oh, Sinestro.
He's got a little mustache.
What a shock. Just FYI, had I not known anything about the comics, what a shock that the little mustachioed man with the sinister eyebrows whose name is Sinestro turned out to be a bad guy.
The guy who spent 5 minutes beating up Ryan Reynolds.
That's the one.
Yeah. But I also feel like what another element of this they got wrong was the way he moves and interacts with the world.
Mm.
He feels very smooth. You know what I mean? And like everything he's doing doesn't have an actual impact. The way he enters or exits a space feels weightless. Mm. And I guess that is like a result of the ring and all of those kind of things. But he never felt like he was anywhere or he's getting hit properly.
Sure,
the other one got stabbed by the big cloud.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not getting stabbed by the cloud. I don't know. Okay, here's another thing.
Go on.
You know he was running late and he was afraid of running late.
Yes.
Why is he frantically wrapping that present to give to his nephew when he could have done it after work?
That's a great question, James. Yeah, you're right.
I don't like that.
Couldn't have spent 2 minutes in the car just before going into his brother's house or whatever. You're absolutely right. Yeah. I don't know, James.
What about this?
Go on.
I mean, we mentioned it, but remember when he hit all those guys in the alley?
I do, yeah.
They're all dead.
Yes.
I don't understand why they're even beating him up, though, really.
They worked at Ferris Air Company.
So
they got fired, I think.
Yeah, but like, who are they?
Well, I mean, we don't meet them beforehand,
do we?
What
are their jobs?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Were they janitorial? What was it?
Their job was to beat up Ryan Reynolds in the hangar.
Well, then you failed. No wonder you got fired.
Mm-hmm.
I also think, and I think this is a problem and also sometimes an element of the character's, you know, abilities and powers and personality.
What can it do? What can the ring do?
Yeah, and he doesn't do anything very interesting. And again, that has been a thing in the comics where people have been like, you're doing boring things. Why are you just doing brick walls and punches and shit? Like, the one thing in this I thought was interesting was when he caught Amanda Waller and he made like a green water.
Mm.
And I'm like, that's okay, I guess.
Sure.
But it's like, I saw a Hot Wheels track, so I'm doing a Hot Wheels track.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Oh, swords.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And what's the, you're right.
Big jets.
Because there's no real, they never really established the rules. So when a character with a Green Lantern ring wins or is defeated, you don't really know why. Yeah. Like earlier on, the bunch of Green Lanterns go up to Parallax and they zap him with the rings and put nets and stuff on
him.
He's
not having
and
it,
they're, and they're like, and he's like, I'm just going to break out of this. But then later, Ryan Reynolds like shoots a jet engine through him and it just sort of tears through him.
Yeah.
And then later, sometimes you can use the ring to... you know, open a subspace gate or a wormhole or create a black hole or something.
Yep, yep.
Sometimes you can just do a big punch. Can you go, I would like to invent a laser that will kill that guy. And then it just works.
I'd do that.
Right?
Yeah.
It's all about believing in yourself. And for most of this movie, he doesn't believe in himself. He's like, oh, I don't know. They gave me this ring, but I don't know.
That's not about, because it's not about.
And then Carol's like, well, how about you believe in yourself? And he's like, oh, yeah.
I thought of that, actually. But okay, here's a question, and I think this would speak more to the comics.
I think all I'm saying is just personally, if I were given the ring, I'd just simply believe in myself.
You'd have to.
And I'd invent that laser from earlier.
One for each arm.
Yeah.
So he also makes a flamethrower at one point, and it shoots an actual flame.
Correct, yes.
Not a green flame.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some versions of Green Lantern which can create things down on the molecular level.
Sure.
So is that what he's doing?
I don't know, James.
Because why can it shoot a real yellow flame? Because that could be like, I've made a green hot sauce bottle, but it shoots actual hot sauce.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
This tube has a burger in it. burger.
Why can't he just shoot hot sauce directly out of the ring is the question you're asking.
I mean, what can he do?
Right.
You know that bit where the helicopter crashes through the crowd?
Yes.
It gets all the way through. It goes all the way through.
But here's the thing, because none of those characters are important. The only characters that are important is Blake Lively's character.
Yeah. Did you say Blank Lively? Hmm? Or did I hear Blank Lively?
I think you heard Blank Lively, but that's a... Okay, that's...
She's fine.
I like Blake Lively and things.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. It's just... He hits the one person that, you know, that he needs to save.
Of significance,
It's a homage to Superman 78, I assume, where he catches the helicopter.
I think it might be that or...
Just nothing?
Just nothing, maybe, yeah.
What's with the mask also?
Doesn't look good, does it?
Well, it's that. And also, he turns up to Blake Lively and she's like, it takes her... probably 20 seconds to figure out that it's him when it's very obviously Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm confused because I thought maybe the mask has some kind of, I don't know, it has some kind of energy projection where it scrambles your brain when you look at it.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Sure.
But it clearly doesn't.
Yeah.
Because she figures it out almost immediately, but also way too late.
Okay, so I'll solve this conundrum for you.
Yeah.
It's because when the character debuted, he wore a mask. That's the end of that sentence.
Oh.
And characters in comic books at the time didn't recognize characters they knew wearing small domino masks because they were stupid. They were written to be very stupid.
Yeah, I guess so.
Stupid people.
That's probably it, yeah. Anyways, like you mentioned, Amanda Waller's in it because this... was supposed to be the start of something. You know, well, I mean, we saw the post-credits.
The Green Lantern Cinematic Universe.
Exactly.
The Glooku.
Glooku, that's right, yeah. You want to come back and see that big yellow guy get punched or whatever? You wanted to see all of that?
Yeah.
Because the sequels, two sequels to this, were greenlit before the movie
greenlit?
Thank you.
Interesting.
Before the movie actually came out. But here's what happened. First of all, what do you think of Amanda Waller in this?
Pretty good.
Really?
I like seeing Angela Bassett in
Yeah, stuff. I know, but like... What Amanda Waller stuff is she doing? She's just like a
scientist. Yeah, she's more a bureaucrat, isn't
bureaucrat,
she? Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
like, there's no...
But she had a deeper backstory, which we saw very briefly in flashback.
Maybe we did.
Yeah. The whole family was shot by a gun.
Just a floating gun?
Just a gun, yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. So, who created that floating gun? We'll never know.
So
maybe it was a Green Lantern who just created a regular gun that fired regular bullets.
Because he can?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get into what happened here.
Okay.
So Ryan Reynolds and Martin Campbell clashed reportedly on set. Campbell has stated in interviews that his first and only choice for the lead was Bradley Cooper. Okay. However, the studio was not willing to make an offer to him and ultimately cast Reynolds behind Campbell's back.
Oh.
Yeah. This led to an uncomfortable experience on set for Reynolds, whose performance was constantly critiqued by Campbell, who made him do many takes. Reynolds has stated in an interview with Variety that the film's failure was a huge relief as he had such an unpleasant experience and dreaded doing it again.
My goodness.
On top of that, Martin Campbell also heavily criticized the studio for hacking the film to pieces during the editing process, which he claimed resulted in the omission or alteration of numerous elements which would have made for a stronger film. I don't doubt that is the case. Apparently, There was a lot of very late additions and reshoots. I think Jeffrey Rush was added like well into production.
In a rush, you might say.
Okay.
At the last minute, you might say.
I will say that, yes.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. You're right. There are some... While I was watching it, I did feel like there were some missing pieces. There's a moment where Hector Hammond flees from the heroes and they're like, how are we going to stop this guy? And then the next scene, Hector Hammond's just in his house. Maybe check his house. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd check his house.
Check where he lives, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon too. Anyway, it's time for Green Trivia.
Green Trivia. I understand, James.
These are getting
worse. James, I understand. Yes, I know.
I'm not taking suggestions.
Okay.
This is not a segment where I would need any critique or any kind of feedback. This is it.
Okay.
I was going to go with Greenland Trivia, but no, you're all mean, so it's Green Trivia.
And you know what? It might be Green Trivia for the rest of this series. For as long as we do these videos, every time, it's just going to be Green Trivia now. This is the last one, and this is on all of you.
That's right. Ben, that font is not green. It needs to be green.
Wow.
Thank you. Anyways, as mentioned, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively met on set, so that's fun and good.
It's fun and good.
I agree. I don't know if you remember.
It's good for their social media, certainly.
So, yeah, that's right. Hector Hammond, I don't know if you remember
I have this. A note here that says Hector Hammond hair sniffer. Is that?
Do you want to say that again? Sorry, because I spoke of you.
I have a note here, James, that just says Hector Hammond hair sniffer.
Does he do it at the party?
Yeah, he does. He gives Blake Lively a big old sniff.
You shouldn't do that.
Agreed. Or at least do it silently. Make sure your nasal... cavities are clear.
Yep.
Just give a big silent sniff.
I would say don't even do that because someone could still see it.
But what if you want a big sniff of hair?
You can ask.
Yeah, I guess you can. Hey, it's a party. let's go around and sniff each other's hair.
I'll go first.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll sniff your hair.
So, I don't know if you remember this, but Hector Hammond is dead in the trailer. You can see it in the trailer.
Oh, interesting.
He's just a withered corpse.
Oh, I see.
Also, he has a flip phone and it's 2011. The fuck's that?
That's Green Trivia.
I agree. At one point, Clark Kent / Superman had a cameo as one of the candidates considered to receive the Ring of Power. Should have gone to him, probably.
Probably.
I mean, depending on version, but yeah.
Yeah. There have been numerous, I think, Kryptonians who've had a power ring.
They did great. Oh, you say numerous?
I think so.
How many? At least one. Name them. Probably Superman at one point, right?
Yeah, probably Superman, in a thing, like a comic book or something.
Yeah, a comic book or something. But he was cut because the filmmakers didn't want to depend on another superhero for this success. Also, apparently there's a Central City sign in this movie. I didn't see it.
Okay.
That's not to say it's not there, but who cares?
Because traditionally the Flash is from Central City.
That's right.
But Green Lantern is from Coast City.
Yes.
But this isn't Coast City.
No.
It's by the River City.
Yes.
Bunch of rocks by the river city. So you can bury a guy city.
Yeah. An early draft of the script contained a cameo by Alan Scott, the first Green Lantern.
Whoa.
Whose powers were magical rather than cosmic. Well, in the comics at least. Scott was going to be the United States president.
Hello.
And near the end would reveal his own past as a Green Lantern to Jordan and give him his blessing.
Terrific.
I'm a president and a sex criminal like most presidents. And I give you my blessing.
Sorry, I didn't help at all.
They took my ring away because of my sex crimes, my numerous sex crimes. That's standard presidential stuff. But the Green Lantern Corps, they don't like that. They've all got big heads too. You've seen them. Do you want some other names for choices of Green Lantern?
This will make it for great green trivia.
I agree. Sam Worthington.
Okay.
I've written.
Oh, I was in that era.
I was in that era, yeah.
When Sam Worthington got offered everything.
Exactly. I've written Chris Pin. I presume that's not a spelling error.
You meant Chris Pine.
I did not. Says Pin. Bradley Cooper is mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Timberlake.
Sure, all right. And he was in Southland Tales.
Yep, he was in that movie where
at the time
everybody
movie.
Had a Everybody's clock on their wrist, time. And if you run out of clock wrist time,
yeah.
You explode or something. Is that right?
Yeah, don't run out of clock juice. I remember that movie.
How did that work?
Clock juice.
I think they were trying to, because I think it was the director of Gattaca, and they're like, "What else can be? What's another thing that's like, you know, like it's suppression of ideas in society?"
Somebody was like, "Time is money. That's an expression. Is there a movie in that? No. Let's do it anyway."
And of course, our Lord and Savior, Jared Leto.
There we go.
Yeah. Taking another run at it. In Green Trivia, yeah, that sort of looks like Captain America's shield, we know. Okay, budget Mason and box office.
All right.
It cost $200 million.
That's a lot for this movie, I think.
And in 2011, or anytime, really. Mm. But the box office return was $219 million. It's estimated...
Oh, that's not a lot. That's not a huge return, James.
I agree. It's estimated that it lost $75 million, but who knows how much it really did lose. But a lot. But I will say this, Mason, it's not a total loss, because, of course, you remember, a Green Lantern Corps movie was announced in 2015, which was released in June of 2020. Remember that big DC slate?
James,
they're like,
no,
Cyborg
no.
film, Green Lantern film, maybe Zatanna, I don't know.
Gee, Zatanna would have been in there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's fun.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but speaking
what a world that would have been if they'd kept to that schedule.
I know. We'd all be different men.
Sure.
In Green Lantern t-shirts, presumably.
Oh my God, yep.
But I can quickly talk about the future of this. So THR...
No future.
So THR recently spoke with Greg Berlanti, mm-hmm. and they said, you produced and wrote the original screenplay for the Green Lantern movie, which was a big disappointment. His version, like, mostly got thrown out. But he said, yeah, we're actually working on a Green Lantern series for HBO Max, which you've probably heard about. Mm-hmm. So it comes full circle. The movie did introduce me to more folks at DC, which led to Arrow. So while it was heartbreaking on the film side, it ultimately led to wonderful things on the televisual side.
The entire Arrowverse.
Exactly.
Which doesn't have a Green Lantern.
Or John Diggle's Green Lantern.
Sometimes they're like, what if he...
Or I saw a fan trailer, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, or maybe like, at one point he's like...
I'm out of the loop, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it'd be one of those things where, you know, like, he's like, I'm back in the final scene of this series finale. But look what I have.
What is it?
And it's a glowing green thing slightly off camera.
Wow.
He's giving the finger.
Big green finger.
Big green finger, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Great, terrific.
Someone will know.
I agree.
In the comments.
Wow. Yeah. Can you believe we made it all the way through the DC graveyard?
No.
There's a few things that people...
I thought I'd die.
But no, you didn't. As
Good
of recording.
Me. Wow. I didn't believe in myself. That was the problem. But then I believed in myself.
That's right. That's right. Mm. A few people have said, we're Steel. We did it like 5 years ago. Right. I don't know. We already did it.
And some people might be like, yeah, but you're better reviewers now. And I'd be like, no, we're not.
I think we're worse, if anything.
We're much worse.
I mean, just, you heard this.
Yeah,
you all saw
even
this.
Our cadence is worse. We both talk like this now. Before we didn't, but now we do.
We got
end of every sentence. It goes up.
Anyways, mm-hmm. What a delight! If you do have any suggestions for Caravan of Garbage, we always welcome them. But let's take a look at what we're doing next week. Is it too early for Morbius?
Are we just going to do the movie Morbius?
I mean, we need the footage, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
It probably is.
No, I mean, we have enough. I reckon there's enough. Like finale footage in the trailers.
Yeah.
That we could just put that in there somehow.
You're probably right. No, here's the real hint. Anyways, if you do want to see that early, these always go up early.
Yeah.
At bigsandwich.co, where if you do want to sign up, it's like our Patreon. There's, as mentioned, early videos. There's bonus podcasts mm-hmm. that we do exclusively there.
That's
there's
right.
movie commentaries, which mm-hmm. go exclusively there. Our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, that doesn't go exclusively there, but it does go up a day early on Sunday as opposed to Monday.
And ad-free.
All of it's ad-free. Maybe if you want to check out that podcast in general, we talk about movies and whatever every week. We talk about movies or
every
whatever.
Every week.
Yeah, yeah. That's linked below. It's got us on YouTube channel and everything else. Anyways, thanks for watching this. We appreciate it.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
I hope so.
I would simply wear the ring.
Yep.
And become the greatest superhero in the universe.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. And then I would defeat that parallax guy.
Yeah.
And then like four other Green Lanterns would show up and they'd be like, well done. And I'd be like, who are you?
Yeah.
I was fighting this thing for ages.
I nearly went into the sun.
Right?
That was bullshit.